C.S. Lewis is a renowned Irish author. His series, The Chronicles of Narnia, is loved by people all over the world. As a matter of fact, when I was in junior high, we had to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. His works have a strong religious overtone, with faith in God as a key element. But in one of the installments, the Prince Caspian installment, four British school children find their way into a magical land of Narnia, a fantasy land of talking animals that is ruled by the great and wise lion named Aslan. A powerful scene is when one of the children, Lucy, who has searched for Aslan for a very long time, finally finds him. And Lucy says, "Aslan, you're bigger." And that great lion replied, "That is because you are older, little one." "Not because you are," Lucy said. He said, "I am not, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger." The more Lucy grows, the bigger Aslan gets. There's a lesson in faith to be learned here. You see, it was the author's intent to parallel Aslan with Christ. His intent was to teach that the more we grow, the larger Christ should become to us, the more he should be served and honored. Unfortunately, most people have a very small Jesus who gets very little from them. In fact, he is so small as to almost be invisible and takes up hardly any space at all. And so I asked the question this morning, how big is Jesus to you? How big is Jesus to you? When you think about Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus in the four Gospels, we see him at his birth in Luke chapter 2, and then we see him at the age of 12 in the temple, and then growing into adulthood. And at this point, the disciples don't even know he exists. But when he began his ministry at about age 30, the people of his hometown tried to throw Jesus over a cliff. But then some wanted to make him a king. He persevered. His influence grew to where thousands followed him from Galilee to Samaria and to Jerusalem and then to Judea. He worked miracles and signs to prove who he was. He selected 12 apostles to work with him, and they still don't grasp who he is. One of the 12, Peter, he even acknowledged Jesus to be the promised Messiah there in Matthew chapter 16. But then just very shortly after that, he set out to correct Jesus on the matter of his death. They, like people today, misunderstood the nature and the mission of Jesus. What about you? Eventually, Jesus is sacrificed. He dies on the cross, but then after he rose from the dead, that's when the disciples finally got it. He was not some small little king over a physical nation of Israel. He was not to be a military leader who would overthrow the Romans. Jesus was much bigger than that. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. After his death, his resurrection, and ascension to heaven, those who wrote of him declared marvelous things about him. He is the magnificent, immaculate Son of God, so much more than they first perceived him to be. He is now much bigger in their eyes. John wrote that Jesus was God who was with the Father in the beginning. In John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The author of Hebrews declared that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Paul said that he is the very image of the invisible God and ruler over all. He further expressed that Jesus is fully deity, yet he was still a man. He is the starter and completer of all that our faith is. Think about John. Put yourself in John's position for just a minute. The disciple who intimately knew Jesus as much as any other man. Upon seeing the magnificent and brilliant vision of Jesus there in Revelation chapter 1, it says that he fell down as a dead man. Jesus was no longer the simple teacher from Galilee, the son of a poor carpenter. Jesus was never bigger in John's eyes than at this moment in Revelation. Though John was terrified, all that John was and ever hoped to be was tied up in Jesus. The longer John walked with him, the bigger Jesus was in his life. So the question is, how big is Jesus in our eyes? The more we grow, the longer we walk with him, the bigger he should be. Not taller in stature. That's not what I'm talking about. But more in our appreciation of him and who he is, his nature, his power, his character. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is not just some other Bible character that we read about in our Bibles. Yet so often the opposite seems to be true. It seems he becomes smaller and less important. And we settle for a shrink-wrapped Jesus. We bring him down to size where he is manageable, where he fits into our lives, and where we can hide him out of the way if necessary. And I think about those, you know, those big bags that you can get, and you can stuff as much stuff in there as you can and then shrink it down. That's kind of how I feel we do with Jesus sometimes. Who is Jesus? Oh, he's the person I call on whenever I need something and I can't get it any other way. He's the person who gave me a whole bunch of commands that I'm supposed to keep, right? I think he's supposed to be the head of the church or something. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is a lot like me, right? He thinks the way I do. He likes the things that I like. Well, we sing a lot about him at church. I don't know why. I mean, he's not really about my life. Instead of Jesus getting bigger and bigger in the eyes of many, unfortunately, he seems to get smaller and smaller over time. I think about the children. You know, children, when they sing, they don't care how they sound when they sing. They sing out. They're happy to be singing. But as the older we get, I don't want anybody to hear my voice because I don't have a good voice. Is Jesus getting smaller? The ironic thing is that Christians should be protecting his grandeur and his magnificence. We should be proclaiming his praises and those of his Father. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." Instead, today, it seems like we have domesticated Jesus to fit our agendas. We make him into our image. I mean, we're more sophisticated than ancient Israel, right? They made a golden calf. We make Jesus a golden coin that gets us what we want on our terms. Is it possible for us in modern America to turn back to the Bible and to see the real Jesus and have real faith in him? Maybe. Maybe not. But here's three things that we can do. Number one, we need to start reading again. Start reading your Bible again. Listen to the wonderful Jesus portrayed in Scripture. We need to talk. Start praying again. Speak to the Father in His name. Commune with Christ in prayer. But then we need to start worshiping again. Make it a priority for yourself and your family. Don't just warm the pew. Don't just be an attender and say, ticket punched, did my thing for Sunday, I'm good to go. Put your heart back into him. You see, God doesn't care if you ever see how big Aslan the lion gets in the Chronicles of Narnia. That doesn't mean anything, but he does care how you see his son. He's there. I end with Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Christ conquered death. He died on the cross so that you and I would not have to face a spiritual death. He died on the cross so that we can live day to day with a hope that we will live in eternity in heaven with him when this life here on earth is done. And it will be done. My life may end today, it may end tomorrow, it may end 50 years from now. I don't know, and you don't know either. But as we are about to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, let's turn our hearts, let's turn our minds away from the hustle and bustle of this world and the things that we're involved in, and let's focus on the cross. Let's focus on Jesus and what he did for each and every one of us.